The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Welcome into our Pit Panther Rants, another Sports Fans podcast. Rod Harris, your host, brought to you by The Sports Drink. Check them out. They're at www.sportsdrink.org. Go to their Instagram and type at Sports Drink. You know, remove the vowel. You know, just remove the vowels and, you know, check them out. And that's basically what my, my show is sponsored by as a part of. Okay, so Pitt is going to be playing in the Sun Bowl tomorrow. And I'm not sure how to... I like the fact that Pat Narduzzi just tweeted a Sun Bowl graphic of the... looks like Mortal Kombat. Fatality. And, yeah. Now, I did look at Pitt's Too Deep because Jim Hammett released it. Well, not so much Jim Hammett, but a whole bunch of people did. You know, Jim Hammett's the guy from Panther Lair. But, a whole bunch of people released it Too Deep as well in the Pittsburgh media. Looking at the list, Nick Patty's the starter. Running backs, Ronnie Hammond, Sebo. We got Kaneda Mumfield, Jared Wayne, Bob Means as receivers. Tight end, Gavin Bartholomew. Let's see, Branson Taylor is going to be the left tackle, but pretty much most of the offensive line's intact. Defense is going to be a little different. Well, Habuk Balanato is going to be playing. David Green, defensive tackle, he's playing. Devin Danielson, Deion Hayes. I'm eager to see how Deion does. He's a junior. But still, though, if you look at the list here, a lot of senior junior leadership. Same thing with linebackers as well. You got Kamara, Shane Simon, Tyler Wiltz, all seniors. Well, actually, Begulli's a junior. But the defensive backfield, you're going to have Javon McIntyre. He's a freshman. Eric Hallett, MJ Devonshower, and Marcus Williams. So, some glaring issues. I mean, Javon McIntyre, freshman. That's going to be a big thing. I'm eager to see how Dalen does. I mean, it's nice to see these guys get some playing time. And, that's really about it. I mean, now I did look at UCLA's Too Deep, but pretty much UCLA's, pretty much everybody from their team is going to be playing, that they've had all year, is going to be playing. And as far as their offense goes, I mean, as far as their team goes, there's really no glaring weaknesses that I can find. I mean, obviously, they have a hard time defending the pass. And we really don't have much of a passing attack. Well, even if Keaton Slovis plays, we don't have much of a passing attack. So it really doesn't matter who the starter is. I mean, we're still going to be screwed. But I'm eager to see how Nick Patty plays. This is a big game for him. And he's preparing as the starter. So this may be a little different because he is that guy. And maybe now, with all this preparation, he gets on the same page as his receivers. Because when we saw him play, come over for, take over for Keaton, when they played at against Tennessee, it was pretty shitty, to say the least. Although he did get us to overtime on one leg. I got to hand that to him. Excuse me, guys. I'm walking around because I'm cooking and whatnot. Ronnie gets to be that guy. I mean, you got Sebo, you got Vincent Davis. Receivers, though, we seem really, really thin. I mean, Gavin Thompson's the backup. I mean, we got Miles Austin. Yeah, we're pretty thin at that position. But, you know, given how things went this year, I mean, it depends on what Jaren Wayne does. If he comes back next year, we got Kanata, we got Bub Means back, we got some experience coming back. And, of course, Gavin Bartholomew as well. We got plenty of experience. Hopefully, Kanata, you know, obviously going from Akron to the ACC was a big step. Same with Bub Means. Maybe things get a little better for these guys. Or we can just recruit, you know, ACC caliber receivers. I mean, we got that going for us. Although Pitt has made out in the transfer portal, which is good. As we heard that Keaton Slovis is going to BYU. But, you know, best of luck to him. Hopefully it works out for him. But, yeah, I mean, like, I looked at UCLA's roster. I mean, they've been less penalized. They've turned the ball over less than us. I mean, it's a Chip Kelly offense. You know, it's... I don't know how this is going to be. I think for Pitt, what they're going to need to do is they're going to need to get pressure on the quarterback like they always do, like they try to do. Basically, impose their will is what the defense is going to have to do. But, you know, there's really not much I can really say about this game. Other than that, they're going to have to figure something out, something on offense. I mean, whether it's moving Nick Patty around, getting him pressure. All right. And I'm looking at, let's see, it looks like Malik Willis is not going to start. It's going to be Josh Dobbs tonight for the Titans. We're going to get on that. We're going to touch base on that as well because, yeah. I'm sitting here reading Twitter while podcasting. But, yeah, I think Pitt's keys are going to be pressure on the quarterback. You know, make his life a living hell. And I keep saying, these guys have names. So Dorian Thompson Robinson's the guy. Pitt's basically going to make his life a living hell. I mean, the receivers, Jake Bobo, Casimir Allen, Cam Brown, they're all going to be there. Zach Charbonnet is going to play. I mean, they're basically going to be loaded. Now, let's compare this right now. Let's see. UCLA is kind of big up front. Yep. Not that much. It's going to be an even. I think that the lines are going to be very. Yeah, it looks like they're smaller on a defensive line kind of thing. So Pitt could possibly move the ball against them. You know, defensive line, we'll have one guy who's 6'3", 325, one guy is 6'3", 277. And then a bunch of linebackers. They have a weird offense. I mean, a weird looking defense set up. I guess it's a two something or three. Maybe it's a 3-3-5 they're doing, possibly. I don't know. I'm not gonna get too heavily into this, but I don't know. I'm lost now. I'm sitting there analyzing this crap, and I don't even know where to go with it. But you know, let's just narrow it down. Pitt's got to do something throwing the ball. Because, you know, UCLA has a hard time defending that. But they may be able to get away with running the ball, looks like, as well. It's just Pitt's going to have to win the battle. I mean, like I said on my tweet, Pitt's going to have to win the battle of the line of scrimmage. I'm making this more difficult than what it should be. Now, as we touch on, Steelers defeated the Raiders 13-10 or 14-10. Yeah, 13-10. Was it 14? It was 13, Tim, because the spread was -2.5 and they covered. Kenny's, you know, overall, I mean, they're 7-8. If they close out, like, whatever, but if they close out 9-8, then, you know, despite the chaos that's happened with the quarterback and whatnot, I mean, it's overall, it's not too bad of a season. I am seeing that Malik Willis is not going to start tonight. It's going to be Josh Dobbs. Malik looked really good in those in the combine, if you all remember. And he looked good in preseason. People loved him. But the problem with social media is they have a tendency to build people high up, and they have a tendency to really break people down. The draft that we had to hear nothing about how bad, overrated Kenny Pickett was, and Malik should have been the guy drafted. We had to hear about how Malik Willis should have been drafted higher on the list, and Kenny shouldn't have been. And of course, it didn't work. Don't mind me, I'm flipping my chicken over in the air fryer. And this seems to always happen. People, the social media hype always, they hype people up too much, and then this stuff happens. I think Malik Willis wound up being a good quarterback. People just have to give him time. But, I mean, Ryan Tannehill obviously isn't the answer either for Tennessee. But that's just, you know, yeah, I'm just giving you some stuff there. As far as the rest of the NFL goes, I mean, like I said, you know, the Steelers and Raiders win. You know, Franco passed away and they honored him. And I did see where Terry Bradshaw gave a little speech before the game began. And you could tell Terry's eyes were red, and he was basically trying to hold it together. And some of the other guys were emotional as well. And I think for these guys, they shared so many memories with Franco. They shared so many memories, but at the same time, now, at the same time, he's gone. And these guys are around the same age as Franco. And we're led to believe that the guys like Franco, these legends, are going to live forever. And fortunately, the sober reality is, it doesn't seem, you know, they're going to start you know, fading away. And that's just the thing. You don't know. In life, you don't know when your number is going to be called. You know, well, my best friend passed away three years ago. That's what somebody told me, that she said his time was up. She said that his name was called. And I kind of hated to hear that. But, you know, she said that's just how things are. You just don't know when your time is, when your number's pulled. And, you know, I think that's another sober reality for as Steelers fans, and as far as these players themselves, they don't know when. And plus, they played in a more physical era as well. Their bodies took beatings, and it's still a physical sport. So you just don't know. You know, I haven't talked about Pitt basketball much, and I guess I will. I should. And quite frankly, it's not fair to them that I haven't talked about them. They're 9-4 right now. They're 2-0 in the ACC. This team is a lot better than last year. I really disliked last year's team, and quite frankly, I wasn't crazy about them. Wasn't crazy about Capel. But I figured our best chance of winning was keeping Capel because he's got a big buyout, and the way things were going, there's no sense of Pitt paying out a whole bunch of money on a buyout where you're probably going to have the same results for at least another 2 years anyway. You know, your best bet was to see what Capel can do. Because he had a nice core together of players, and then they just all left. You know, for a lot of reasons. I mean, Justin Champagne obviously went pro. Trey McGowan just supposedly wanted to play point guard, so he left, and we never heard from him really ever again. And Audis Tony, I think he played NCAA Tournament last year. And Marcus Carr and Parker Stewart, Kevin Stallings recruits, are still playing. I mean, I think they're in their eighth year in college. But I watched Pitt play Syracuse, and you can easily say Pitt almost blew that game. But at the end of the day, a win is a win. It's a win, a win, a win. Whether if they almost blew it or not. They escaped the dome with a victory. When it looked like the Syracuse was going to come back and take it, Pitt snatched, out of the jaws of defeat. I mean, they defeat NC State. They beat Northwestern. I mean, you could probably say early in the year, the way things were going, they were still breaking the team in. I mean, it was a lot of new faces. And they're looking a lot better. As one person said, if you can't recruit the talent, you can't pull guys in, your best bet is to recruit a bunch of shooters. And that's what they've been doing. They're shooting the ball a lot better. I mean, early on, they weren't shooting good, but they're getting better with everything. John Hewley, he's been struggling this year. I don't know if he's injured or what's going on, if it's personal. Despite that, they're still winning games. And also, I think they have 8 or 9. They're thin right now. I'm not sure how the rest of the season is going to go. D.R. Johnson's practicing. They tend to redshirt him. I'm not sure how that's going to end up. A lot of people seem to be angry about this, and I get it. But they have to rehabilitate this guy because he's been at several schools. You know, he's been several schools. I mean, he's just been all over the place. And they got to get this. I mean, he's young. He's still very young. I mean, he's still technically a kid. They need to get this guy some help. Because they can't throw him. They can't throw him out on the street. They can't throw him in the transfer portal either at this time. Because if they do, and if he goes and does whatever he's going to do next, it's going to really, really look bad on Pitt. Because it shows that Pitt, just grab this kid just because he could play, shoot a basketball and dribble it. I do understand people's, issues with this as well. I do understand that part of it. Why people aren't crazy about this. But worst case, if he doesn't stay at Pitt after this year, which could be a possibility. That's why he's practicing. They got to get him reps, because there's a chance he may not stay here. He may go somewhere else, and you don't want him, At the same time, if you're getting him help, you also want to make sure that he's practicing, he's staying fresh, so when he goes to the next team, maybe he's a better person. Well, you would hope he's a better person. But that's really all I can say about that. But Pitt has the ACC is going to be. It's tough this year. It's going to be tough every year for Pitt. But not at 9-4, a 2-0 in ACC, regardless, we're doing pretty good. And I see that Sam Hartman's going to Notre Dame. As far as the whole transfer portal stuff and the tampering, it's always going to be there. And it's just something we're going to have to live with for a while. Maybe it evens out. But I think it is pretty annoying that we're seeing all these media people, especially last night when Drake May and North Carolina lost. Yes, some media people that were upset. They were upset that Hartman's on, you know, that May is on a you know, mediocre team, and it's a shame. But props to him being loyal. But it's a shame he's on a mediocre team. As if the guy belongs on an S. I mean, this is where we're at with this. Is we got media people saying, well, this guy should be playing the SEC. He should be playing for Bama or whoever. I mean, we don't want college football to end up like Major League Baseball, because no one's going to want, you know, it becomes an unwatchable sport. But anyways, I'm pretty much done with this because I have nothing much else to talk about. But, yeah. You guys have an awesome New Year's. In fact, I should talk about that because, you know, Christmas, we did the whole co-parenting thing, like always. And my ex-wife spent the night at my house, although she slept on the couch. And, of course, a few minutes in, she goes, are you okay? And I said, sure. She said, if you're not comfortable with me being here, I understand, I can leave. And I said, I'm not going to kick you out on Christmas Eve while the kids are here. That's a bad look. I think it's because I was in my master room. Don't mind the beeps, guys. I just took out my food. I'm basically doing a spicy chicken breast and some French toast, because I really haven't eaten breakfast yet. But, you know, I told her, I was like, you know, you're fine. I'm just in here watching football, and that's really what I was doing. You know, I wanted her to hang out with the kids. And, of course, you know, next morning they opened their gifts. We had breakfast together, and she left, and that was that. But I usually get a honey-baked ham, but this year I didn't. I actually bought a ham and just did my own glaze. First I did a rub on it. And, you know, made sure all the little slices of the spiral ham got it all and threw it in the oven. And then made my glaze and glazed it. And it came out really good. I mean, I basically bought a $10 spiral ham. And in my opinion, I think it tastes better than honey baked. And I say that because I made it. That's the best thing. That's one thing I love about when you make your own stuff. Whether it's when you cook stuff for yourself, you're eating it. If your kids or whoever likes it, that's a bonus in itself. If they tell you it's delicious, they want to take some more home, they'll do that. And that's always a bonus. You know, like I made, for a while I was making briskets, and my first brisket came out good. My one didn't come out, I wasn't crazy about it, but the best part is I get to eat it. So it doesn't matter anyway. I'm not going to be a top chef, and, you know, I may post a few things on social media sometimes, what I make, but that's about it. But overall, it's been not so much bad as, you know, the holiday hasn't been that bad. I mean, as far as the whole raccoon saga goes, I think I'm over that part of it as well. Oh, shoot, I need to get some beers for New Year's, too. But work on that next. But anyways, guys, you guys have a happy holiday. Enjoy the Tony the Tiger Bowl. Hail to Pitt.